How many of you know that we're in a series right now? Do you know what the series are called? It's WDJT. What does that mean? What did Jesus teach? Now, when we talk about teachers, especially I hear people who go to college, I hear them say a lot, we're learning stuff that we will never use in life. Okay? So sometimes we think when you talk about teaching, that we're not going to use it all. Well, but how many of you know Jesus is a different type of teacher than our college professors, than our high school, middle school, grade school teachers? He's different. When he is teaching us, there's a reason for it. Especially when he attaches word happy in front of it. Then it has a meaning. Then it has a purpose. And so when we study what did Jesus teach, the foundation of his teaching was how to be truly happy. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is our today's subject. We're studying the Beatitudes. How many of you know what Beatitude is? It's the type of attitude that will bring a blessing into your life. Be attitude. Okay? And so we've studied, blessed are poor in spirit. Just imagine a ladder, right? And the first step of that ladder, in order for you to get from one place to some higher place, you have to climb that ladder. But you can't skip steps. You have to take those steps. Otherwise, you will fall off. Have anybody here ever fallen off the ladder? I have. I was on a ladder, standing on an A ladder, 10 foot tall, and I was standing on the highest step. And you know, usually it says there, warning, do not step on this step. Well, I needed to reach higher. So I stood on that step, and before I know it, I was on my back. And this guy was looking at me and saying, hey, wake up, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I just have no air to breathe, you know? So, but if you climb a ladder, you have to take every step. And so the first step of this Jesus' teaching is blessed are the poor in spirit. Step number two is blessed are those who mourn. Step number three, and that was 2 weeks ago, blessed are the meek. And today, the fourth step, and this is the fun step, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they shall be filled. Interesting illustration. Interesting set of words that Jesus is using to talk about righteousness. He's talking about hunger and thirst. Let me ask you guys a question, and I think I know the answer to it. Have you ever been so hungry? Have you ever been so thirsty that you would eat anything, even lettuce? Lettuce looked good to you. You know, we live in a country that we do not know hunger and thirst. We live in a country where our problem is not that we are hungry. Our problem is that we need to lose more weight. Our nation is the most obese nation in the world right now. Talking about myself, although last few weeks I've lost a few pounds, so that was good. Amen. We live in a country where hunger and thirst is not the issue. We don't understand hunger and thirst. But Jesus is speaking to people who did. In Jesus' day, people did struggle with hunger and thirst. A few weeks ago, I was working at a house. Moss was there probably with me, and I was talking to this old buddy of mine, and he opened the door, and two of his dogs came out. They were black labs, and these black labs were so fat that it didn't look normal. Their legs were skinny, and here this big body is going, they're barely moving. We live in a country where dogs are fat. Definitely we don't understand hunger and thirst. When our animals, I was in Honduras this January, and there's a big difference between Honduras dogs and American dogs. Do you know now they have exercises program for the dogs? You can buy a DVD for your dog to lose weight now. It's not people anymore. It's dogs. Right? I mean, we got it good in this nation. And you know, if you do struggle with hunger, it's probably like Solomon has. You're too lazy to take your hand and stretch it into the cookie jar and get a cookie. That's the only reason I think you struggle with hunger. Because we have all kinds of programs where you can get food. You can go to a banquet and eat three meals a day, and it's really good food. You can on Friday go to Faith Family Food Giveaway, and you can get some food there. Amen? So if you're hungry, it's because you choose some... Let me be honest. I'm not being politically correct. I know that. This message might rub you the wrong way, but just bear with me a little bit. The reason sometimes we're hungry because we choose between food and addictions. And many times we choose to buy addictions than to buy food. And that's the only reason we're hungry in our nation. Our dogs are eating good. I was in Honduras and I posted this picture on Facebook. Many of you can go and see it. There was this dog. He was so skinny. I gave him peanut butter cookies by accident. And it was stuck in his mouth. Remember that? Yeah. I didn't know they were peanut butter cookies. I just saw this dog and his back was about this thin. I mean, right here. His ribs, spine. I mean, he was so skinny. He just looked horrible. He looked like he was about to die. And so, I mean, I had some, you know, package of cookies and I'm like, here. And then there was peanut butter. Not good. But anyway, let's talk back about hunger. Hunger and thirst is one of the most powerful human needs. Would you agree? A person who's really hungry will do almost anything to get food because his life depends on it. Hunger is the strongest of human motives. It produces in us energy. It drives us to decisive action. Hunger is powerful. You know that hunger starts revolutions in nations. Government are fearful of this one big thing, is hunger. Because they know when people are hungry, they will do about anything. Hunger has started many riots and removed many kings and politicians from power. How many of you heard of bread riots? How many of you heard of that historical term, bread riots? Well, in 1917 in Russia, because there was not enough bread, women started protesting. And eventually that led to Russian Bolshevik Revolution and ended the dynasty of Romanov's family, which is the king's family. Hunger is a powerful source, a powerful force. In 1789, in France, because of lack of bread, because of famine and bad and cold winters, it led to the French Revolution and removed Louis XVI, the dynasty of Louis. The Louis XVI was on the throne at that time. And many, many more. Hunger is a powerful force. When you are hungry for a day, your body will start telling you what to do. Amen? When you're hungry for 3 days, you're like, ugh. I've never been hungry for 3 days. Not, I mean, I fasted for 3 days, but that's a different story. But being hungry for 3 days, I don't think so. But imagine being hungry for 30 days. Probably another man's arm would look good to you. I know it's funny, but it's not.
You know, in Israel, a nation that knew God and His commandments in the years of famine, holy people of God resorted to cannibalism. That's how powerful human hunger is. And so Jesus is equating and talking about hunger and thirst, but He's not talking about hunger and thirst for food. He's talking about hunger and thirst for righteousness. Point number two, just as your body wants food and water, your spirit is hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Just as your body desires and hungers food and water, so is your spirit desires righteousness. Righteousness is a big deal for your happiness. God knows it, and after this message, you will know it. Why you need righteousness. Jesus said, in order for you to be truly happy, for your spirit to truly be satisfied, you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let me ask you a question. If your body stops craving food, what are the indications? What's the problem? If your body stops desiring food, usually it's a sign of sickness. My grandpa, who passed away last year, in the last 2 years, he stopped eating. And he stopped eating, and they would give him pills to eat. And he was a normal-sized man, and then he just became so skinny. I mean, you could see every bone in his body. He didn't want to eat. Why? That was a sign of sickness that leads to where? Death. See, if our body doesn't eat, it's bad news. But if our spirit doesn't eat, it's also a bad news. Let me ask you a question. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Now, what is righteousness, Pastor Alex? We're getting to it. We're getting to it. What is righteousness? Let's talk about that word, because that word sounds holy and big, and I don't understand it, but it's churchy, and I don't like it. In Hebrew, righteousness is a word called tzedek. T-Z-E-D-E-K, okay? Which means upright, just, integrity, equity, straightness, and honesty. Our God is called a righteous God. Psalms 33:5, let's put that on the screen, guys. Psalms 33:5 says this, God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Next scripture, Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man brag about his riches. But let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in earth, for it is these, for in these I delight, says the Lord. So when God says, when you boast, don't boast about how rich you are, how smart you are, how much education you have. What does it say? Glory or boast that you understand and know God, that he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. So our God loves righteousness. Our God is a righteous God. Now righteousness in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are a little different. Let me give you an example of what righteousness in the Old Testament is. Actually, it's the same thing as that word, Hebrew word, tzedek. Upright, just, integrity. Let me make a statement that righteousness does not mean sinless. Righteousness means this, right standing with God. Husbands and wives, you will understand this. If you do something stupid, husbands or wife, and your wife gets mad at you, she doesn't say anything, but you know there is no right standing with her, or not right standing with him. Something is wrong. That's called unrighteousness. There's something that's blocking, something that's causing a rift between us. Righteousness, all it means, it doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean that you don't have any sin, because the Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it doesn't mean, listen, don't be afraid of that word righteousness. It doesn't mean that you are without sin. It just means that you have a right relationship. You are in peace with God. You are not in war with God. You're not an enemy with God. You're in peace with God. Okay? So just think about it through this lens. Now, the first time the word righteousness appears is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. How many of you know who it's talking about? Abraham? Okay, no. Before Abraham? Noah. This is genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just. That just is also interpreted as righteous. He was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. So what is righteousness? It's having a right relationship with God. It's walking with God. That's all it means. So don't be afraid of that. If you're a Christian, then you are called righteous. Through Jesus Christ, you have a right standing with God. God is not mad at you, so don't be afraid of that word. Now remember, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament didn't come yet. So righteousness was based on their works. And Noah was a just man. Now remember, Noah lived in a very corrupt society where everybody decided to pervert truth and live by it. And God says, the only man that he found in that society, in that world, was Noah. Can you believe it? One man in the whole world. The rest of them died where? In the Noah's, it's not Noah's flood, it's God's flood, but in the flood. I'm excited. I'm just excited telling you this stuff. But Noah was not sinless. Do you remember after the flood, he started a vineyard, which I'm planning to do myself, and then he made some wine, and he saved it for a while, and then it became really good, and he got really drunk. And when he got drunk, he got naked. He was too hot. And his son came and started laughing at him and making fun of his dad. And he called other people and said, hey, well, there was only a few people, his brothers, left on the earth. He says, hey, come, look at this. And the brothers took a blanket and they went backwards and covered their father so they wouldn't. And then Noah got up and he was mad. He was so angry, he cursed his son. He cursed his son. He was not a perfect man, but he was righteous. Obviously, righteous person knows how to repent. Righteous, they know how to ask God for forgiveness and turn around. That's what righteous is. Unrighteous person, when they mess up, they make excuses. They start twisting the word of God to make them fit what they wanted to say. They use the intellect and wisdom of man to try to make themselves feel better. But you cannot twist truth. You cannot twist truth. So Noah was a righteous man. There was another righteous man, and you know him? His name was Job. How many of you know Job? I don't like reading Job's story because it's like, oh, he had it so good, then he had it so bad, and then he had it good again. But I don't like the bad part. Almost seems to be like 40 chapters of bad, one chapter of good, and one chapter of good in the end, and 40 chapters of bad. So, like, okay. Anyway, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Uz is where Armenia is right now. And that man was blameless and upright. What is righteousness? It's being upright. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. So in the Old Testament, fearing God and turning away from evil, that's what was called righteousness. And let me tell you, there was not many people like that in the Old Testament. Because we're all screwed up. And when there is one good one, God writes about him in his book. When there is one good one, his name is on the wall of a Jerusalem somewhere. But there was not many people. We all fall short. Amen. Another man, this is in the New Testament, but it still applies to the Old Testament time. Matthew 1:19, it talks about Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That word just is righteous in another translation. Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good man. Okay? So in the Old Testament, righteousness is different. It means this, that a man were exceptional. He was an example of integrity, justice, and uprightness of how he lived. They were good people. They loved other people. They didn't lie. They didn't steal. They didn't do other people harm. They didn't false witness against somebody. They tried to live according to God and his principles. But just remember, righteousness is not sinlessness. It's just right standing with God. Point number three, and we're going to get to the New Testament. I only give you an Old Testament interpretation. Human attempts for righteousness have always failed miserably. Human attempts for righteousness. Paul says this, Apostle Paul, our righteousness, help me out, is as filthy or dirty rags, right? So human righteousness falls short. So why should we even pursue it? It's like a 4-foot man trying to dunk a basketball like LeBron James, right? 10-foot, 4 feet, not happening. Unless you use a big trampoline, big trampoline. Then maybe you can dunk a ball. But is Christ setting us for failure? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But human righteousness has always came short. During Jesus' time, who was the righteous people of his days? Who they thought they were righteous? Sadducees and Pharisees. And what did Jesus say to them? Because people looked at them as the symbols of righteousness. Why? Because they walked a certain way. They dressed a certain way. They had these bandanas or whatever you call them on their head. And there was written scriptures on them. There was scriptures on their sleeves. I mean, they walked a certain way. In the middle of the street, they would get down and be like this. You watching me? You watching? I'm not like him, sinner. Thank you, Jesus. Or they would walk by a prostitute and he would start praying and saying, look at her. She's a sinner. Father, I'm glad I'm not like her. All right? I'm so glad I'm not. That's what they were. And people said, yeah, this is what righteousness is. And Jesus rebukes them and puts them in. Man, Jesus had a way to with words. Let's show what Jesus said about these guys in Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness, read it with me, exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So here, imagine this on the streets, on a courtyards of in a town square of Jerusalem, by the temple, Solomon's temple, or Herod's temple, whatever. These righteous people walk around. And Jesus said, unless you become more righteous than these guys, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is he saying? Their righteousness is not enough. Their righteousness is religious righteousness. God is not pleased with religious righteousness. Meaning, what is religious righteousness? I can get to God by my good works or by acts, certain things that I do. I can be right in right standing with God by acts, certain acts that I do, how I dress, how I talk, how much I give. And those things are important. Don't get me wrong. But it was religious righteousness. They didn't have a relationship with God. They thought by me doing these things, I already, by default, have a relationship with God. And God says, no. You must be more righteous than Pharisees. How is that possible? You were asking that question. And people of that day was asking the same question. How can we be saved then? Amen? A lot of us today, we don't think about the word righteousness. We usually think more of the word blessed. Okay? If you wanna look what Christian books are written about, most sermons that are preached in big churches is usually never on righteousness. It's usually on the blessing. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He didn't say this. See, we would rather have this say, if you seek the blessing, then you'll get righteousness. But note, it doesn't say that. What does it say? If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, then you will be blessed. You see how different? Last week, I got a book that said, you're brilliant, something brilliant. Release your brilliance. There's many books like that. And listen, the guy was cool. He was awesome. But it just tells you what our culture is all about. It's about how can I be blessed? How little can I do and how much more blessing can I get? And usually we get it the wrong way. We say, God, if you bless me, I'll do this, which is almost like manipulating God. But God says, no, you seek righteousness, and as a result, you will be blessed. Next point, righteousness, first of all, is not an act in the New Testament. Righteousness in the New Testament is a person. Righteousness in the New Testament is a person. What are you talking about? Hunger and thirst for a person? Okay. Keep up a little bit. Romans 3:22 says this, for we are made righteous, right with God, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are, no matter if you're Jew or a Greek. So we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness in New Testament is hunger and desire for God. Do you hunger and desire God? Throughout the day, on Monday through Saturday, do you hunger for God? Because God says you are blessed when you are. Or are you dying or dead spiritually? See, person who is sick does not desire or hunger food anymore. Spiritually, it's the same thing. When we stop desiring God, Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So see, Jesus talked about another food. Do you desire that food? What is that food? It's the word of God. So what is righteousness? It's hunger and thirst for the living word of God. And the coolest thing about this living word of God, in Isaiah, it talks about those who are hungry, come and eat. Those who are thirsty, come and drink. It's free. It's available. Just open the book. For example, you can find out that your dad is a millionaire or a grandpa of some sort, and left you $1 billion. Let's say not $1 billion. But unless you go and do something about it, you're going to be still broke. You're still going to be poor. You're still going to work hard 9 to 5. And nothing wrong with that. But But if you have billions of dollars laying there for you, come on. Same thing. We are made righteous by our faith. Now, the biggest mistake that people make, point number six, pursuit of righteousness is not a one-time act. So listen to me. Watch this. Hold on. I'm going somewhere, okay? Watch this. How many of you hungered and thirsted for righteousness before you got saved? Usually not. Usually, there's only a little percentage of people who hungered for righteousness, and then they found Jesus. Usually, the way we find Jesus is not when we expected. We usually either we're in trouble somewhere or we are going through something hard and we just have no other option. So we say, I'll give this Jesus a shot. And we come to church and we don't even expect it. And then a preacher preaches the good news that God loves you and he wants to forgive you and change your life. And you're like, something happens on the inside of your heart. You start crying, tearing up maybe. And then you say, I'll try it. You didn't desire righteousness. I didn't desire righteousness. We didn't come to God because we desired him. Listen. Bible says this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't want me. I wanted you. You didn't pursue me. I pursued you. So listen. When Jesus talks about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. So, he's talking to us, those who are saved. So, my point number five, righteousness, pursuit of righteousness, right standing with God is not a one-time act. It's a lifetime quest. It's a lifetime thing. See, the biggest deception in the body of Christ, Satan says this, you can receive Christ, you can receive righteousness, and you're done, you're good. That's the biggest deception in the church today. Jesus says, no, that's not good. A Christian who is healthy, who's alive, will hunger something. He will hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because how many of you know this? Christianity is not about being the same who you used to be before you were saved. Christianity is all about transformation. God doesn't want you to be in the same state that you came. He says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So, when you become a Christian, you have new feelings. How does a person who's hungry and thirsty for righteousness feels? You want to know? When you begin to look at yourself and you begin to look at God, you start seeing how you fall short. And you start saying, God, change me. You start... Paul Washer gives a great example of this in a YouTube video. You can see it. It's only like 2 minutes. He said when he was called to ministry, he went to college, and one of his professors was really close to him, and he felt called to preach. And one day he comes to his professor and says, Professor, I don't think I'm good enough. I still got sin in my life. I'm imperfect. I don't think I can do this right now. And professor comes to him and puts his two arms on his shoulders and says, you know what? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what you're showing. He said, if you showed up and said, I'm good. I know the Bible. I can pray long prayers. They're impressive. I can quote scriptures. I'm ready to preach and go save the nations. He would say, I would be worried. But because you're broken and you're saying, I hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the kind of people God will use. So my question to you, when was the last time you hungered and thirst for righteousness? Or in your heart, are you a good person and you don't need any? Yeah, everybody makes mistakes, you know, but are you a good person? Now, I'm not talking about condemnation, people. Get me on this. I'm not talking about condemning yourself. I'm so bad and beating yourself up. There's a healthy hunger and thirst for righteousness that's healthy. That I'm not there yet. Pursuit of righteousness is not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime quest. Last point. Point number seven. And this is practical point. Righteousness bring happiness on a practical level. How can righteousness bring happiness on practical level? Let's talk about anger. Human anger. There's righteous anger, but let's talk about human anger. Is it righteous or unrighteous? Unrighteous. Let's talk about human anger. When you get angry, are you happy? Seriously. Maybe twisted people are, but even they are not happy. You're not happy when you're angry. So, Hebrews 12:11, last verse today, says this. No chastising or discipline. This is another word for discipline. Seems to be joyful for a present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So first, you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Second, you begin to discipline yourself. Who said that Christianity has no discipline? Who said that to be a Christian, it's all done by grace? Listen, by grace we sin less than by the law. Law makes us sin more. Am I making sense here? Okay, so discipline seems... doesn't bring you a lot of joy. But later it produces what? I remember coming home when we first got married and when we first got married, and listen to me, young people, you'll experience this too, on one level or another. I didn't know how much anger I had till I got married. Because my wife would just drive me bananas. If you married, say amen. Or husband. God. And so my wife would just drive me crazy. And I have a lovely wife. But we just would disagree. We realized how different we were. I prayed, Lord, remove this anger from me. And it wouldn't. So for a year or two, I prayed, God, remove this anger. I don't like myself. I'm not happy. I lose my cool. And then I have to apologize, and I hate that, you know. Ain't nobody got time for that, you know. And then just, it sucked. It doesn't bring you happiness. And the Lord showed me the scripture. He says, put away wrath, evil speaking, because with anger comes evil speaking. Name calling and all kinds of stuff. I was married when I was 21 years old, so I was a young guy. And trust me, I had lots of energy and lots of anger. And I began to discipline myself. And I said, Holy Spirit, I can't do this on my own. I tried. And I said, I know we're going to get in a fight again. Because every time I come through the door, we talk first and then we fight. That's what would happen. I would come home already angry. Okay? And Holy Spirit would do something. Before I would walk on the steps of my garage to my, you know, door, Holy Spirit would say, remember, put away anger. And just those simple words, put away anger, had so much power in my life. But I had to discipline myself. I had to go, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. And before you know it, I don't say I have control of anger, but listen, I have a happy marriage. So you see how hunger and thirst for righteousness will produce happiness. Okay, let me give you another example. Jealousy. Is it righteous or unrighteous? Unrighteous. There's God jealousy, but that's a different thing. Human jealousy is unrighteous. I think if God wanted to punish you, He'll give you the spirit of jealousy. He'll destroy you. You think a person who looks at another person and says, man, boy, they have so much, and trying to mentally destroy them, do you think that person is happy? I've been jealous before, and I've been on the other side lately a lot, on the other side of jealousy, where people, nobody should have that much, nobody, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at the person, I'm saying this, listen, instead of going and achieving your full potential, you're angry at what I'm doing. Why are you looking at me? Just go do your thing. It's not going to make you any more happier. It's not going to make you richer to be angry at me for being blessed. Amen? So jealousy is an evil spirit. So if you are not jealous and you're happy for what you have and you are happy for what others have, guess what? You are truly blessed. Blessed means happy. Hallelujah. But that takes what? Discipline. But listen, human discipline is not enough. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to come with your discipline. Your discipline is not enough. Many of you said, I tried disciplining myself. You can't do it in your own strength. You need God. Oh man, I ran out of time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He talks about greed. A greedy person, it has a carrot in front of him, like turtle. And he goes like this, goes after the carrot and he grabs it, and then he sees another one, so he doesn't eat it. He just throws it in a backpack and goes after another carrot. And he grabs it and he never enjoys life. It's a curse. Greed is a curse. Jealousy is a curse. Anger is a curse. Get rid of it. How? Through the Word of God, by desiring righteousness, by desiring to be like God. David says this, as the deer panteth, thirst for water, so is my soul after you, O God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, is those who hunger and thirst for Christ, for Jesus, for a relationship with Him, to look at Him, to be like Him, to imitate Him. That's what it is. You can try other ways of happiness that the world offers, but those ways will destroy you. Try alcohol and it will destroy you. Try drugs and it will kill you. Try anything else and it will hurt you. Give you disease and think other things. God says, you want to be happy long term? Seek as you would seek food. As your body would seek food, seek the same intensity for me. Seek me with the same intensity as if you didn't eat for 10 days and now you're hungry. Seek me. World offers temporary super glue duct tape fix, but it doesn't deliver. It lies. Satan lies. God brings life in Jesus' name. Were you blessed by this message? I can talk so much longer about it. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. You can have two responses after this kind of message. Number one, you can receive Christ into your life and receive His righteousness by faith. Remember, we don't have to pay $1 million to be righteous. We are declared righteous right away. And number two, maybe you've been saved, but you are not hungry and thirsty for more of God. You need to repent of that. So sinners need to repent of sin and become righteous. Those who have been saved and are righteous need to pursue righteousness like food and water. Two responses. So this first call is going to be for those who feel far from God and they don't feel righteous, and they want to surrender their life to Him and say, God, make me righteous by my faith.